Bibles tonight to Acts chapter 27. Acts chapter 27. We were in Maryland from 2002 until 2016. Got there in the summer and left in the summer. And we'd been there about 4 or 5 years. And Staples, the office supply, you may remember they had a promotional where on their commercials, somebody would say, "That was easy." And remember that? And they had a little round red button about that big that would sit on your counter or whatever. And if you pushed that button, it would say, "That was easy." Remember that? Anybody have one of those? Okay, wow, they sold pretty good. I did not know. So some folks in the church thought it would be humorous to give one of those to the pastor. That was not the problem. The problem was, it wasn't no problem. But the fun thing was, there was this young child in our church, and he would come in, and every time he'd come in my office, he'd head straight for the button. You know? And I got a kick out of that so much that I gave it to him for Christmas. And his parents did not say a word, so I don't think it was a popular gift, but that was kind of the end of that process. And that was easy. You know what? I think even for folks that have gone through things much worse than we have, I think the minute you step into eternity, you're going to realize it wasn't as bad as you thought it might have been. You know, I don't know that you'll say that was easy, but you know, you're going to have that sense of everything was okay. You know, there's no panic button in heaven. And when we pray, now the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And when the Lord prayed in the garden, he did not sweat drops of blood. That's Mormon doctrine. He sweat drops as blood. But he was praying in such a way that he was perspiring heavily. And prayer is not always easy. But when God answers, it sure is. Trials are not always easy. But when God brings them through, they sure are. I came in tonight and Brother Matt was having some conflict with the sound system back there, and we looked at it, and it was making a lot of racket, and plan A was, well, don't use it, but that's not acceptable, and the Gonzalez can't be here tonight, and so they wanted to be sure and listen to the service, and so we got to looking, and you could hear this noise, and I got to notice there's a set of lights up there, and they are perfectly in sync with that noise. What is that thing? And we turned it off, and the noise went away. And it felt good. We solved a problem. We're all sound experts now, amen? Matt is a sound engineer. And but doesn't it feel good when God deals with something? You know, you don't like it when there's not enough money, but then when God provides, it feels great. And you don't like it when there's a trouble that you can't overcome. And at any point in time, there's going to be some trials in life. But there's a statement here in this chapter. And it's three times it's here. And I think any time the Bible says something three times, you might want to stop and take a look at that. And this statement, and you are going to see it first in Acts chapter 27 and verse 22. Yeah, let's get this straight. They are in a shipwreck. They are in a ship that is going to sink. And it's not just going to sink. It's going to sink on a coastline. And they know they are in that they're about to get wet. It's not going to be a happy ending for the ship. But in the middle of that, Paul says, be of good cheer. Don't you hate an optimist? Well, why not be an optimist? Amen. Be of good cheer, he says. What? Then look again in verse 25. He says, sirs, be of good cheer. That's twice. The third time is when it happens. And that's at the end of the, or closer to the end of the chapter, verse 36. At the end of verse 36, it says, then were they all of good cheer. And I would remind you that in chapter 27, it's when the shipwreck takes place. And by the end of the chapter, they're all out safe. In fact, the last three words in chapter 27, do you see those? Safe to land. My friend, Ken Altman, is safe to land. He's with the Lord. My friend, David Wellman, is safe to land. One day, if you're saved, and I think we all are, we're going to be safe to land. Amen? Amen. Oh, it feels like a shipwreck sometimes right now. But be of good cheer. How can you do that? Let's have a word of prayer, and we'll look at this just a little bit tonight. Father, thank you tonight that we have the Bible, and such an amazing thing to see. These folks are in the night, in the ship, in the water, and a lot of uncertainty and struggle. And Paul says, be of good cheer. But he has a reason for that. We're going to see it in a minute. Help us to understand that in our situation, we can be of good cheer. We may not understand everything, but we trust you. We may not see how things are going to work out, but you do. And we know what is going to happen is for our good and for your glory. And Romans 8, the Bible says that plainly. Help us tonight to understand how to be of good cheer a little bit better and to see what it means. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. All right, we're going to look at some verses here. And I've got them on my sheet, so I'm not going to turn to them, but you are. Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9, in fact, I will turn to them just to kind of keep up with you. Mark chapter 9, and the good news is these kind of go in sequence, so you haven't got to do much flipping around in your Bible. But Mark chapter 9, there are eight times in the Bible, we're going to look at them in just a minute, three of them are in chapter 27 in the book of Acts. The other five are in the New Testament. There's eight times when the Bible uses this phrase, good cheer. The last three are when Paul talks to these folks on the ship. The first five are when Jesus was talking. Jesus, five different times, said, be of good cheer. Now look at, just we'll look at them briefly, each one. Look at the situation and think as you look at that situation, how do you think the people felt with what they were dealing with? And then look at how the Lord dealt with it. The first one is Mark chapter 9. And oh, I may have a wrong passage here. I'm sorry. Hang on. I'm going to find that thing. Bear with me. Computer Bible. Matthew chapter 9. That's better. Matthew chapter 9. And I've written Matthew on my page. I don't know why I said Mark. Matthew chapter 9. There we go. That's better. Whew. Got to read my notes. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 2. It says, behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And just stop right there and think about that. That's not a good situation, is it? Fellow's sick, and he is lame. He's unable to lift himself up. Certainly very uncomfortable, difficult situation. The doctors didn't know what to do about it. And in the middle of that difficult situation, in Matthew chapter 9 and in verse 2, Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, son, be of good cheer. And then look what he says. Read that together with me. Thy sins be forgiven thee. Wow. Have you ever thought about that? Your sins are forgiven. That's a reason to have some cheer. Wow. I don't know if you understand it or not, but God did not have to forgive us. He chose to forgive us. That's great. That's amazing. That bodes well for us. And why did he say that to this man? He could have just raised him up. Why did he say, thy sins be forgiven thee? Because there were some people in the room that questioned who he was. In fact, they denied who he was. They did not believe he was God the Son. And so he says in verse 3, certain of the scribes said within themselves, this man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts in verse 4 of chapter 9, says, wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or say, arise and walk. Look at this in verse 6. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. Then saith he to the sick of the palsy, arise, take up thy bed, and go unto thine house. And he arose and departed to his house. And when the multitude saw it, they marveled. There's a whole lot there, but let's just stick with the basics. First of all, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven. Be of good cheer. Jesus can forgive your sins. Baptismal waters don't do it. Priest doesn't do it. Pope doesn't do it. Mary doesn't do it. Jesus does it. Amen. Be of good cheer. And in this case, a very terrible situation, just like that, the fella gets up and everything's okay. And did God have a purpose in that? Yes, he did. He was trying to teach some folks some things, and he allowed the situation to happen. Now, Matthew, not Mark, Matthew chapter 14. Matthew 14. This is the second one. Oh, where do you start? It's verse 27, so we're going to wind up, but I'm trying to decide where to start here. Let's go back to verse 22. Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side. And while he sent the multitudes away, when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the even was come, he was there alone. Just want to remind you of something. When Jesus doesn't seem to be there, he's there. And why did he send them out and he stayed behind? The Bible does not specifically say so, but there's no doubt in my mind that as he was praying, they were the subject. The Lord cares about you. And you may feel like you're in the ship alone. He knows exactly what's going on. And again, this is going to be a situation to where they're going to think that things are bad and the Lord's going to come and they're going to find out things weren't as impossible as they thought they were. So he's apart praying in the mountain. In verse 24, the ship was in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth, and that's the last watch of the night, and stop right there. So they're out there, and they're tossed around, and it just, it's. You ever been on a little boat out in the water at night? You can't see anything. You can't see land. Back then, there might have been a few lights way in the distance, but they wouldn't be like we have now. And you immediately around you, the water is so dark. It's amazing how dark water is at night. And then the boat's going up and down. You can't see the waves coming at you all the time. And they wouldn't have been in our, we would have electric lights today, but they couldn't have had a candle. It wouldn't have stayed lit. And they're out there in the water at night and they're tossed around and it's dark and they've been at it for a long time. It's in the fourth hour of the night. Doesn't seem like a very good situation, does it? These fellows say, and they say the same thing that we might say, the Lord put us here. We're out here because he told it. Well, let me tell you, if the Lord put you there, he's with you, going to take care of you. Amen. Bad situation. They're at night. They're on a boat. It's stormy and the sea is tossing them around and the wind is blowing against them. And look at this. In the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And in verse 26, when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It's a spirit." And they cried out for fear. And you and I have made that mistake before. When the Lord is about to deliver us, and he'll be using something that we don't expect and something that we don't recognize, and we'll think, no, that's bad, when really it's very good. Sometimes things that look very bad, God uses them in great ways to do very good things. And so they see him coming, but they don't realize, and they don't understand, and so now they're afraid. And here's our verse 27. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid." Now, there's a thought. The first one was, the sins are forgiven. The second one is, he's there. He's with us. You realize, it says in Hebrews, the promise is quoted, he said, "I'll never leave you or forsake you." He's always there. That's pretty comforting, isn't it? That's a reason to be cheerful. The forgiveness of sins, the presence of Christ, you can see, even though there's a difficult situation, be of good cheer. Now, here's what's interesting to me. I won't read the rest of the story. You know the story about Peter walking on the water, and then he noticed the waves and began to sink. Once Jesus was there, didn't that change things? But the storm didn't end. It's just, once you know Jesus is there, you know things are going to be okay. Right? Amen? Well, hey, guess what? He's always there. "Be of good cheer," he says. "It is I. Be not afraid." Of course, Peter goes to him on the water, and that's a good story. When he was afraid in verse 30, and he began to notice how the wind was blowing. He began to sink, and Jesus saved him. Keep your eyes on the Lord, not on the problem. Amen. Now, finally, Mark chapter 6. Same story as Matthew 14, so we'll move past that. But Mark chapter 6 and verse 50 is the third, be of good cheer. And it is when they saw him on the water, he said, be of good cheer, as I be not afraid. Now, go to Acts 23. Acts 23. We're getting close to where we started, because the last four of these are in the book of Acts. So we saw Matthew 9, Matthew 14, Mark 6, repeating Matthew 14. Oh, I missed one. John 16. I'm sorry, go back. I knew there was one more. John 16. John 16. I am not reading my notes well tonight. There's a long discourse. A message, I guess you could say, a sermon, so to speak, when the Lord is speaking to his disciples before the crucifixion, and it's in chapter 14, let not your heart be troubled. Chapter 15, I am the true vine. Chapter 16, these things have I spoken unto you that you should not be offended. And come down to chapter 16, towards the end of the chapter, he says in verse 32, behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. And so he's preparing them for that moment when in the garden he's arrested and they flee. They run away. And he delivered them. We've talked about that many, many times. But then he says something to them in verse 33, right before he's going to be crucified. And right before they're going to face what arguably might be the most terrible experience in their life of seeing Jesus arrested and crucified. And he says in verse 33, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. What's that all about? Isn't the world a sad place? I'm starting to question, and I mention this to you too often, I know, whether it's even a good idea to read news at all. Because every day when I read news, I see something to where something wicked is happening, and wickedness is being promoted, or people are suffering, or people are killing each other. And what was it here in Arizona a couple of days ago? An employee in a plant killed somebody. And I really didn't need to know about that. If I hadn't have seen that in the news, my life wouldn't have been affected one way or another. Seeing it now makes me think about it. The world's a wicked place. Wow. Well, be of good cheer. The Lord Jesus Christ overcame the world. Greater is he that is in you. Amen. You think about all the things that you see that frustrates you that you can't do one thing about. The political decisions, they're gonna abort more babies, and they're gonna fight for that. That's a great idea, to kill unborn babies. Yeah, let's defend that. What wickedness is that? And then all the crazy, this transgender stuff and the homosexuality and all the wicked, wicked sins, not to mention just basic things like not letting children pray in school or have a Bible or whatever, and not have a teacher have a Bible or pray and stuff like that. All the different things that the world has done. Folks, the Lord's got a solution for it all. And he's going to demonstrate that in a 1,000-year reign of Christ, when the whole world is going to be done, run the right way, and things are going to be done right. Be of good cheer, he says, I've overcome the world. Whatever opposition the world has to offer us, Christ overcame that. Be of good cheer. Amen. Now we come to the book of Acts, chapter 23. This is a little different. This is that event where Paul has been arrested. We looked at this a few weeks back, and the priest has come and accused him, and he's appeared before the priest, and they smote him on the mouth and so on, and chapter 23, and we come down in verse 10, there arose a great dissension. The chief captain, fearing lest Paul should be torn in pieces of them, commanded the soldiers to go down. And so the Jews are going to kill him, and the Roman soldiers take him by force away from the Jews, and they bring him into the castle. And now it's the next night. Isn't it funny how it's always night? It's always those dark times, when the quiet times, when you can't, you know, nights of time when evil more is more abundant, and when trials are sometimes more fearful. And it always seems like it's at night that the Lord's coming and doing these kind of things. And it says at night, verse 11, look at this. The Lord stood by him. That's pretty good. And said, be of good cheer, Paul. For as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. There's a whole lot in that verse. I see a couple of things right away. Paul took great pleasure in telling people about Jesus. I do too, don't you? It's not always easy. Some folks don't want to hear it, and some folks get upset when you try to knock on their door and tell them about it. But I like telling people about I love sharing the gospel. And it's just, there's nothing wrong with it. It's wonderful, and it feels good to tell somebody. The song we sing about, tell me the old story. And it's good. And Paul was saying that way. And God says, listen to me, Paul. The Lord stands by him. That's huge that the Lord's there with him. But we've already talked about that. And the Lord says, I'm not done using you yet. You've testified at Jerusalem. You get to go to Rome. All expenses paid by the Roman government. It's going to cost them a ship, at least. But you're going to go to Rome. Be of good cheer. I'm not done using you yet. You think God's done using you yet? No. If he was, he'd take you home. Right. Be of good cheer. There's still things for you to do. It is a blessing to be used by God. Lead one more soul to Christ. Encourage one more believer. Teach one more student how to live a righteous life and not have to pay the penalty that comes with sin. And be of good cheer. God's not done with you yet. He says, you're going to bear witness also at Rome. And funny thing is, the next verse says it was day right away. So the nighttime was dealt with. All right, now back to chapter 27. We're almost done. Two more. These are the ones we just looked at. Three more, I'm sorry. We read them already. In verse 22, he says, I exhort you, be of good cheer. Verse 25, sirs, be of good cheer. Verse 36, they were all of good cheer. After the first two of those, there's the word for. I'll finish with looking at that in just a minute. But look at this. Webster's 1828 dictionary defines cheer as shout for joy. Encourage someone. Be glad. Rejoice. Be encouraged. I have good news. Or isn't that good news? In the bad situation with the shipwreck where they had ignored Paul and now they're in trouble. And first things had gone well, now there's a storm. And they were out of control and they feared for the worst. We read all those verses already. They gave up hope in verse 19 and 20. Now, Paul points out their failure in listening to him in verse 21. And then after all of that, he says, oh, by the way, be of good cheer. Look at the two fours here. He says in verse 27, sirs, or he says, I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you. That's a miracle. You read about shipwrecks. We talked about shipwrecks a week or so ago, and you read about shipwrecks, people drown. It's horrible, the rocks, and you get beat up against the rocks and the waves, and you get knocked out, and you're lots. There have been story after story after story of shipwreck where nobody survived. And they're all going to survive. Why? Because God said so. Be of good cheer. God made a promise, and he's going to keep it. We have those promises of God. And folks, if you're discouraged, read some of God's promises. They're pretty good. They will make you be cheerful. And then in verse 25, sirs, be of good cheer. And look at the four on this one. For I believe God. It is one thing to have God's promises. It's another thing to believe them. Do you believe them? I do too. And then when you're laying in the hospital or when you're sitting there and the bank account's looking terrible or when you're whatever, when you see the problem, when you're in the storm and you haven't seen the Lord yet, that's when you need to believe the promises. Amen? And things don't always end the way we want them to, but they usually, when they don't, it's because we didn't see the best route and God knew how they should end. And I can't always explain that. I just know that God always does what's right. So the promises cause us to be of good cheer, but we have to believe them. And then let's look at this last thing real quick and we'll be done. He says in verse 35, let's just read a few more verses there. Go back up, verse 33. He says, while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, this day is the 14th day that ye have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. Wherefore I pray you to take some meat, for this is for your health. For there shall not be an hair fall from the head of any of you. And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Then were they all of good cheer, and they also took some meat. You know what they're doing? There's no point in eating if you're about to die. Now there's hope. Let's stop and eat. We're going to have to go swimming here in a minute. And we're going to need some energy. But I can tell you, none of you are going to lose even a hair on your head. If you don't have hope, you won't be of good cheer. God wants us to have hope, doesn't he? Once you see hope, if you look at the stories we saw before, it's once they saw the hope, that's when the cheer comes in. The man sick of the palsy and the Lord heals him. Or Paul in the night in the prison and the Lord stands by him. Or the others that we looked at. Now, I'm just going to go out on a limb here a little bit and say this. I don't think that these people in these stories are the only ones that God wants to have to be of good cheer. I think he wants us to be of good cheer. You see, I don't know what's next. And it doesn't always, the prospects, I'm one of those people, and some of you are as well, I think, that are really good at, you know, adding things up and doing a budget or seeing what's going to happen next or looking at the trend or whatever. Folks, God could care less about trends. He just does what needs to be done. The trend is a man's got palsy and he never has been healed. God heals him. The trend is they're out there in the water and there's a storm and the ship's going to sink and the Lord comes to them and everything's just fine. Time and time and time again in the Bible, you don't throw people into a den of lions and expect them to be alive the next morning. You don't throw somebody into a fiery furnace and expect them to survive. You don't put a teenager up against a trained 10-foot-tall giant soldier and expect them to live or win the battle. God doesn't care about trends. God doesn't care about probabilities. In fact, I think he kind of likes improbabilities. That's when the miracle looks the best. Amen? Be of good cheer. Amen? Let's look at one last thing here, and we'll kind of finish up a little bit. In verse 36, then they were of all good cheer, and they took some meat. Folks, things are going to go on. This is not the end. I don't know what the end is going to be, but I do know this. It's going to be good. My friend David Wellman, my friend Ken Altman, right now, if you could meet with them and talk to them for a few minutes and ask them, what do you think? Did the Lord make a mistake in your life? Not a one. Are you sorry that you gave your life to Christ and lived for him? No way. Was your life always easy? No. But the Lord was always with me. He forgave me. He protected me. He picked me up when I was sinking. And he carried me through day by day. Be of good cheer. No panic button in heaven, amen? Just keep on praying. God's going to take care of us. Let's all stand and pray.